You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of The American Journal has begun. Infowars.com, band.video. I am very happy to welcome the man, the myth, the legend, Gavin McGinnis, to the show. Gavin is the host of Get Off My Lawn on Censored.tv and is one of the founding members of Vice way back when it was still cool and also profitable, by the way. You can find his show, Get Off My Lawn, as well as many other amazing shows with guests that you've seen on this program, such as Devin Tracy, Jim Goad, and Josh LaCash. Subscribe to Censored.tv. That's Censored.tv. Welcome to the program, Gavis. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, my man.
I'm very happy to have you. And I wanted to personally know, and I'm sure our audience does too, how are you feeling about the announcement that Vice will be filing for bankruptcy? Are you happy? Do you feel vindicated that they're going down? Or do you feel sad that this thing you helped create is in its death throes? How are you responding to this news?
You wouldn't believe how many people have asked me this in the past 24 hours, including my wife. It's not like they did go woke, and they did go broke, but it took 15 years. So it's not like I left and everything collapsed, so I should be high-fiving. They made hundreds of millions after I left. So I don't think I can gloat here. But I think the real problem with Vice is that Shane Smith was the CEO whisperer. He was a genius. I don't know why he gave up his position. Maybe he got paranoid during Me Too. But he handed it over to a woman. And she wasn't qualified. She wasn't the CEO whisperer. So from the top down now, we have this affirmative action female hire who doesn't have the same drive that Shane had. I grew up with Shane. He would rather die than fail. And then at the same time, I think they lost interest in sort of the magazine and other stuff. And that started hiring affirmative action type of trannies and stuff. And then eventually the top brass affirmative action, the bottom brass affirmative action met in the middle, and you had no qualified people who had any kind of skin in the game. But they, you know, getting woke and going broke is a thing, but it's also a pyramid scheme. And if you can get in and get out fast enough, like Shane and Sarush are still rich.
Well, yeah, they made hundreds of millions of dollars, but a lot of it was through just wholesale investment, just cash injections, right? I mean, this thing only stayed afloat for as long as it did because of $400 million there, $1 billion here being injected into it, not from an audience, you know, buying their product and then getting advertising, but just from like private investment firms injecting it with cash. So, I mean, was their success to this point even real?
I don't think so. But the beauty of Shane is he can do. Remember that scam with water filters where you don't get the water filter. You have the license to sell the water filters, and then you sell that license to 10 other people, and then they send. It's a pyramid scheme, right? And eventually, someone wants to check the books. But governments do this all the time. Banks do it. If you can just keep borrowing from the future and keep getting new people involved, you never have your due diligence. And I mean, I think I could maybe pull that off once and I would end up in jail a year later. But Shane was able to pull it off for decades. I mean, the guy was amazing. So I think it's quite likely that the emperor never had any clothes and it was just bluffing the whole time.
It does kind of seem like that. It seems a little bit like a Ponzi scheme. But it says something also, right, that you've got this organization that gets injected with billions of dollars and is still now filing for bankruptcy. I doubt Censor.tv. I know InfoWars hasn't had $1 billion injected into it, and yet we're still thriving. I mean, what explains that?
You had $1 billion injected out.
Right. Forcibly removed. That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, what does that indicate?
Is strange. I think what happened was I was the heart and soul of it. I wasn't great at music, so that was Sarush's job, and Shane was business, and we all had our positions allocated. And I think our generation, Gen X, was salesmen were really frowned upon. Right. There's the, you know, the used car salesman. In the 50s, it was cool with Mad Men type stuff, but for Gen X, it was always seen as tacky and bad. I love it. I'm always impressed with that skill. I don't have it. But I was always reverent towards sales guys. But I think
Gavin. I'm sorry. We got to go to break. We're going to pick it up with the history of Vice right where we left off on the other side. 1 minute break. We'll be right back with Gavin McGinnis. We are on air with Gavin McGinnis. Censored.tv is where you can find his show, Get Off My Lawn, as well as some of our favorite guests here, Devin Tracy, Jim Goad, Josh LaCash. They all have shows on Censored.tv, and you get them all by signing up there. And we're talking about Vice. You know, Gavin, I was saying at the beginning of or when we were first talking about this story, like, I remember Vice magazine in, like, high school. It felt like you'd found some contraband. It felt like something that you weren't supposed to have. You weren't supposed to be looking at. And it was exciting and alternative and cool. And then it got even better. And now it's filing for bankruptcy. So just I had to cut you off. So just to pick up where we were, you were sort of the artistic drive of all of this.
Right. And people think that Vice used to be, you know, left wing and then I became this right wing lunatic. No, Vice was a right wing lunatic. It wasn't, you know, a conservative magazine, but it wasn't not right. It wasn't not right. You know what I mean? Like, right. There'd be left wing stuff in there, but we'd have a thing on skinheads. And we would, one time we did an interview and I dressed up like a skinhead and Shane dressed up like a soccer hooligan and Sarush dressed up like he had been the victim of a hate crime. We were always playing with those boundaries. And post 9/11, we were especially patriotic and we did an issue called I Love Cops. So it was always pushing the boundaries even within the hipster community. But as I was saying earlier with the sales guys, they go, well, we want to do editorial. That seems fun and cool. So that's when I was out, and that was the end of the sort of pushing the boundaries edginess, and they started doing this sort of world news. And I think Shane was pretty good at it at the beginning, but when you do something that isn't you, your heart's not in it, and eventually you lose enthusiasm, and you start letting everyone else get involved. And when there's not, like, a captain of the ship who genuinely loves, you know, culture, then it just slowly fades away.
It does. It reminds me of, like, a rock and roll artist that sells out. I mean, Vice magazine sold out. It was edgy. It was cool. It was energetic. And then it sold out and became corporate. And you can just see it, like, the aging rock star just, like, not – his heart's not in it anymore. And he's just doing it to get the check. I mean, it's emblematic, isn't it?
And say you're a rock star and you sell out when rock was good. You know what I mean? Like, say, in the early 70s. All right, well, you're still riding this cool tidal wave and you're still rocking, but they basically sold out to pop music in the 80s when pop music couldn't be worse. So they became mainstream media right as mainstream media was dying, right? Is like Huffington Post, CNN, they're all at death's door right now. All these things that are flashing in the background are dying. So it's a really bad time to go mainstream because the mainstream has been exposed as a shill for the government and the deep state. The only place you get real stories is at InfoWars and Censored.tv behind a paywall where we're talking about things no one else is talking about.
You know, it reminds me, you know, you pointing out that Vice was never sort of right or left. You didn't change that much. I mean, that reminds me of InfoWars. It really was 2016 when I saw the big change, because here in Austin, Alex Jones was always hometown hero. It was the alternative people, the weirdos, the people who didn't quite fit in but knew something was wrong. I mean, I used to go to a coffee shop near my house. There'd be a stack of InfoWars magazines, and they'd be gone the next day because people would come in and take them out. I mean, It was never considered right wing or, you know, the typical conservative style. And yet all that's changed in the last couple of years, where these alternative outlets have been branded with, like, fascist. And we've had to contend with that as well. So, I mean, this is a thing that's happened with a lot of alternative news.
Dude, if 2004 Vice was around today, then modern Vice would be attacking it as racist, sexist, transphobic. They would. 2023 Vice would absolutely despise 2004 Vice. And that's sad because 2004 Vice was way better.
Right. A little bit of jealousy maybe in there. But again, you know, expanding out, zooming out, as you pointed out, this is really in line with what we're seeing across the board. BuzzFeed is going down. I mean, it's gone at this point, right? Vice News, this is happening as well. Even the shakeups with, like, Tucker Carlson being fired. I mean, what is happening in the media landscape right now?
You know, it's a great time to be a curious journalist like Glenn Greenwald or Matt Taibbi or Turtle Boy. It's a great time to be an old-fashioned hit-the-street reporter, because journalists have never been lazier. They just Google stuff and repeat what someone else said. And it's because a lot of them are – their heart is not in it. They're just there because they think it's a cool thing to do. But it really is a great time to – to want to do reporting because there's so many stories out there that are being ignored, like the voting machines. Tucker sort of, he didn't even question the voting machines. He allowed someone who questions the voting machines on his show. And it, now the number one news show in the world canceled. You're not allowed to question that. What a great time to be looking into stuff because you're not allowed to.
You know, it's my dad keeps telling me, he's like, you know, your show is just going to get bigger and bigger. Now that Tucker Carlson's not on air, as we, you know, ramp up to the election, he's like, you better be on your A game because, you know, people are looking for the truth and they can't find it anywhere else. So, I mean, but I'm not happy that this is happening. I want a robust, powerful media to hold our government to account. I don't want it to only be InfoWars and Censor.TV that are holding down the fort for the truth where everybody else is, you know, totally bought and paid for. So, I mean, are you happy that maybe this is opening up, you know, for people like us to actually tell the truth and knowing that more people are coming over to our side? Or, I mean, how do you feel about this? Or are you sad like I am that media is just dying as a whole?
What did Mao say? Let a thousand flowers bloom. I want a thousand flowers to bloom. That's the foundation of this country. When the East Coast was founded by England and they started becoming more independent right before the revolution, Britain said, we want political newspapers in every town, but I want a right one and a left one. I want you guys constantly debating back and forth. And then that debating got America so smart that they said, why is Britain even involved? Let's just kick them out and start our own country. It's a powerful thing to debate back and forth. But somewhere down the line, the left said, don't debate. It gives Nazis a platform. And we all became drastically dumber when that trend began. So I don't like the divorce. I don't like the fact that it's dinosaur garbage media that no one takes seriously. And then these outlaws that you have to dig to find. That's not a good scenario. But as one of the outlaws, I mean, it's good for business, I guess. Right. I don't know. I want us all arguing again.
Yeah, I do too. And I want there to be things like The Vice I Remember, where it was just like dudes going to Pakistan and buying illegal guns. I mean, it was just cool investigative reporting that actually had like geopolitical purpose. And, you know, we were saying during the break, like now is the time that we need something like that. We need on the ground independent reporters that are well funded and backed by, you know, big media organizations like Vice once was. I mean, there is still a place for that type of material. It's just being shut down at this point.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I've never really given a crap about the non-Western world. Pakistan, Africa, Russia, China. God should just sink them into the sea. They don't matter to me. I'm yawning every time I hear about an international affair. But I guess when it comes on our doorstep, though, it becomes problematic. Like we just gave – here's something you'll never hear on mainstream media. I heard this on – I think it was Glenn Beck's podcast. We just gave $1 billion to China to fight climate change.
Oh, yeah.
Like that should be the front page of every newspaper in the country. What the hell is going on? But no one goes near it. They don't want to insult China because that's bad for their investors.
And it is all about the investors. Again, I was just looking over, I mean, just the litany of investments that Vice got over just the last few years. I mean, it's upwards of $5.7 billion is what it was worth all the way back in 2017. How do you lose $5.7 billion in 5 years? I literally don't know how you spend $1 billion a year at a media outlet. I guess that's what they did, though.
But what if it's not there? Like there's investment with cash that you can hold. And then there's evaluations where you're worth this and worth that. And you tell, like you tell this guy that this car is worth $1 billion. And then the next person goes, oh, that's $1 billion car. Well, I want to invest in it. I want to put another $500 million. Okay. Now it's a $1.5 billion car. It's still the same car. There's been no money exchanged, but it's just these evaluations keep going up and up and up until the bubble has to burst at some point. And the fact that they were able to delay the bubble bursting for 15 years, that's the story. Like the economics of that, that's what deserves the research. But no journalist is going to go through that, and no journalist has the connections to see the, you know, the back end, because journalists don't have connections anymore. That's another thing, by the way, about all this Googling. You don't develop relationships. So
that's very true. We'll pick it up there. We'll pick it up there on the other side. We got to go to break. We'll be back with one more segment with Gavin McGinnis, Censored.TV. All right, folks, we are back with Gavin McGinnis talking about the downfall of Vice Media. It follows the shuttering of BuzzFeed. Vice last week announced they were ending their nightly news show, and now it looks like they will soon be filing for bankruptcy and possibly just closing their doors for good. Apparently, there are five entities that are still bidding for it and may pay to keep it alive. Gavin, is one of them you? Is there any chance that you buy Vice Media, we complete the circle, and you're back on top at Vice?
God, if I was to buy Vice, I would just fire all of these pathetic, woke, purple-haired losers that kill businesses. That they start out saying we're going to be open-minded. They hire some trans person. Then the trans people say they want to form a union. Then they go on strike. Then they want the company to pay for their sex changes, which are like $150,000. And they're all mentally ill. They're terrible at journalism. And they destroy companies. You know, the far left are locusts. They ruin businesses. They ruin towns. They ruin communities. They ruin scenes. And they ruined Vice.
And, you know, the news media is one thing, and we'll get back, because you were making a point about, you know, the lack of real reporters these days and how the media isn't doing its job in any regard. But isn't it across the media landscape? I mean, there's the writer's strike going on now. I can't think of a single TV show or movie in the last 3 years that I would want to rewatch or watch again. I mean, everything is just crap at this point. Entertainment, news media, it's all terrible for exactly the reasons you laid out.
We're out of ideas. The thing we were talking about earlier is connections. You got to, the modern journalists are elitists, same with Hollywood and everything. And the problem with elitism, besides the obvious aesthetic annoyance, is you don't know people. Glenn Beck, Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, he's a unique, an exception to the rule of mainstream media not knowing what it's doing, by the way. But those guys they get calls in the middle of the night from some Green Beret or some CIA whistleblower that goes, this is going to come out soon, but blah, blah, blah is going on, and we blew up the pipeline and all this other stuff. So when you see guys with connections have theories like that, Alex, Tucker, Glenn, they're talking from experience. They know what they're saying isn't a theory. It's actually true. The other journalists, they don't get those calls because no one trusts them because they're pussies. They're losers. So they're not in touch with what's going on in American society. And in the old days, you'd have the guy with the fedora, the press thing, like cops would meet him at the bar and they'd hand him a little ticket and tell him some secret. And, you know, you got to know people to be able to tell what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at, Dark Alliance. It was Gary Webb, right, exposed that. I mean, that all came from, just a phone call one day. I mean, that's exactly how it worked. Literally, it's a reporter sitting in his office, takes a phone call. They go, I think I have a story you might be interested in. And it starts off as some small court case that he starts digging in and realizing, oh, there's a lot here. I mean, will there ever be another, you know, Dark Alliance where he exposes the Iran-Contra affair and there's actually political movements against it? Because at this point, the media is quite literally, like without exaggeration, just a repeating station for the intelligence agencies. I mean, the intelligence agencies say, here's what we want the American people to know. And the media companies go, yes, sir. And they repeat it verbatim with no investigation. I mean, are we ever going to have that real investigative journalist person in employed in America again?
Yeah, like you see these compilations where the media will grab onto a word like collusion, and it's a word no one really used before, and then you hear it on 70 shows in a row like that day because the DNC released it as a talking point. I don't think anyone with an IQ over 100 takes mainstream media seriously anymore. And I think I saw data recently that said over 60% of Americans don't trust the mainstream media at all. Right. I mean, that's pathetic. And that's where we're at because they're incurious. They're just, their heart's not in it, which is, again, why Vice died. I think that the people who were in charge, their heart wasn't in the culture. And that can't last forever.
Yeah, it really is a sad thing. I mean, what is the purpose of having a free press if they're going to enslave themselves, right? I mean, what's the point of being free if you're just going to sit on your butt all day and watch TV, right? If you're not going to use your freedom that you have, you're going to lose it. And I think that's what we're experiencing across the board.
But pre-social media, when I was into punk rock, we had this zine, Maximum Rock and Roll, and we'd be creating cassette tapes with some guy in Utrecht and another guy in Bristol. So when there's a will, there's a way. If you're curious and enthusiastic, you're still going to get the truth. You just have to come and find guys like us to see what's going on.
You know, it feels like we could talk so much more about all of this. I know you have to go. You're very busy, and we'll tell people where to find you and everything. But it's like, I just want to know what we can do to regain, like, interest from the right wing. It's like we're saddled with, like, Mitch McConnell as an albatross around our neck. It's like we're trying to get things done. We're trying like, you know, trying to forge a path ahead, but we're stuck with the Republican Party that's just the old school fuddy-duddy, and they give the left media all the ammo they want to paint all conservatives as these stuck-up loser weirdos. And I just want to know how we get the culture back to something cool and alternative that Vice used to represent.
Comedy, satire, mocking them. When Joe has a blunder, enjoy it. You'll go insane. This is why cops are so funny, because they see such horrible things, but they get through it by laughing and making jokes about the horror before them. That's what we have to do, is enjoy clown world. I mean, people are entertained by clowns, right? You pay to go to the circus. So we have to keep fighting, but we also have to enjoy it and mock it. And when you mock it, young people see that you're having fun and laughing, and they see that you're on the fun side and you're not the drama queen side, then they want to get involved. And when you have young people, your movement is set. I mean, without youth, you're nothing.
Absolutely. And now they have now they have people thinking it's cool to be like scolds, to be the teacher's pet, and it's I find it incredibly disgusting. We could go on and on about this, and we should. And I'm ashamed that we haven't had you on this show before. That is a severe oversight on my part. So we'll have to have you on again. Censor.tv is where they can find you. Get Off My Lawn is the show that you do, and it is very funny. I mean, talk about comedy. You know, it's one of the funniest shows on the internet right now, in my opinion. How else can people find you and follow you, Gavin?
So go to censored.tv. We got a promo code 1 month. That's all one word. And that'll get you a month for free. Try it out. Dip your toes in it. But it's the only way to enjoy clown world is to laugh at it. And you'll feel sane when you watch this show, because when you read the paper and you walk down the street, you think Idiocracy and the book 1984 had a baby.
That's right. I call it the dystopian smorgasbord. It's like they've gone through and picked all of the most insane parts of all the dystopian novels, and that's on our plate now. It's just the worst of absolutely everything. What's that?
Yeah. Who knew that horrific could be so ridiculous?
Yeah. Hey, I like watching clowns as much as the next person. I just don't like being governed by them as our world is destroyed. But there you go.
Gavin McGinnis,
censored.tv. The promo code is 1 month, all one word. And again, Devin Tracy, Jim Goad, Josh Lekich, Lekash. I refuse to learn how to say his last name, but all those shows are available on there as well. Thank you so much for joining us today, Gavin.
Thanks for having me, man.
My pleasure, and my pleasure as well, watching Vice go down in flames despite the hundreds of millions of dollars pumped into that sinking ship over the last several years. Folks, we're going to close out the hour with more news, more videos, and your phone calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Band.video, Infowars.com. Share these links. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the front lines of the information war. I'm going to open up the phone lines right now. We'll take your calls this segment and the next segment. So first come, first serve. We'll just go down the line as they come in. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. If you have comments about Black Cleopatra or wars in the Middle East or war over Taiwan and John Bolton or Vice News collapsing or what we need to do as Americans to reclaim our culture from the parasites that are infesting this country right now in the most, you know, but literal way, right? Just bloodsuckers leaving us a husk. Anything you want to talk about, give us a call, 1-877-789-2539. We'll go to your calls just as they come in. I have a bit of a feeling right now with some of the goings on at the national level, like I'm standing outside of my house that is just burned to its foundation. It's just a pile of ash at this point. And despite the fact that I've been calling 911 and sounding the alarm and trying desperately to get somebody to help put out the fire. Now that the house is burned down and collapsed, here comes the fire truck. That's how I feel a little bit with this headline. Toxic trail of pollution. States step up to curb the use of forever chemicals. Am I happy to see the fire truck? Sure. I guess it's nice to know somebody's doing something about it. Is it way too late at this point? Yeah, it probably is. It probably is. Because for the past several decades, the wild-eyed, crazy conspiracy theorists at places like InfoWars have been warning about forever chemicals, have been begging people to care about the flames destroying their homes, about the chemical runoff in the water. What happened? We were mocked. We were ignored. We were called conspiracy theorists or homophobic for pointing out some of this stuff, pointing out how it affects your hormones, how it can alter your sexuality. And of course, this is across the board, whether it's mercury in the vaccines or pesticides such as atrazine in the runoff from factory farms, or just the proliferation of PFAs, these forever chemicals. We have been sounding the alarm and being ignored for so long that now that they're actually coming around and doing something about it, I can't even like be excited. It's not like, oh, finally, now they're doing something. It's like, oh, really? Because my house is ash now. So I'm glad you're here. It's a very nice fire truck you have, but sure would have liked you to pick up the phone when I was calling a year or two ago. Toxic trail of pollution. Few chemicals have attracted as intense public and regulatory scrutiny as PFAS. Even as the highly toxic and ubiquitous compounds' dangers come into sharper focus, industry influence has crippled congressional attempts to pass meaningful consumer protections. Federal bills designed to address some of the most significant sources of exposure, food packaging, cosmetics, personal care products, clothing, textiles, cookware, and firefighting foam, have all failed in recent sessions. And the thing you need to take away from this is they are not going to stop this. I mean, maybe 10 years from now, we'll be able to look around and go, gee, aren't we glad that everything comes in glass bottles now? Like maybe, you know, that change will be made, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. The point you need to take away from this is nobody's going to be protecting you from chemicals that damage your health, your body, your mind, other than you. You can avoid PFAS to a very large extent. I mean, at this point, they're to be found in fresh fallen snow and on the continent of Antarctica, which I have been assured by people in the know doesn't actually exist and is in fact an ice wall. But regardless, you can't avoid it outright, but you can take steps to mitigate your exposure and your children's exposure. And InfoWars has, of course, forever provided you a wonderful way to do just that in the air and water filters that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. So go get your hands on some of the Alexa Pure filters, the Alexa Pure Breeze or the Alexa Pure water filters that can do an amazing job of getting all sorts of contaminants out of your tap water, some that are there by accident, some that are put there on purpose for nefarious reasons. Regardless, if you want to drink pure, fresh, good, clean water, then you really have to be using a filter, and we provide the best on the market at an extremely reasonable price. And of course, this is really kind of how Alex Jones got started. I mean, it was DVDs first, and then it was water filters, because what's the point of complaining about these problems if you aren't giving individuals and people and families ways to counteract it, not just on the political level, because we, of course, always, you know, encourage people to get involved, get, you know, get elected into some position, use whatever political or economic power that you have to make a change on a wider civilizational scale. But in the meantime, protect yourself and protect your family from the poisons that are, again, some purposefully, some just by accident, imbued into all of your food and all of your water. Just don't buy things that are in plastic packaging, or if you have to, get them out as soon as possible. You know, take steps and take measures to prevent this poisoning, because as we've known forever and that the mainstream media is finally starting to acknowledge, the damage that this stuff has to you and the environment around you is really hard to overstate. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get your hand on air and water filters. They're on sale, and you will wonder how you ever lived without them as soon as you have them. I've told the story many times. The air filter is like, it's a revelation, man. I notice when it's off. It's like you walk into a room, you're like, it's kind of stuffy. What's going on? Oh, the Alexpure Breeze got turned off. Somebody's been playing with the buttons again. You really will notice the difference, just like you'll notice the difference with all of our supplements. InfoWarsStore.com, that's where you support us. It's the best way to support us. The other way to do it is, as we've mentioned, we are starting to retake the social media landscape. Honestly, for a while, it's just been not worth it. It's like they kicked us off social media. We did everything we could to like circumvent, and they cut us off at the pass. They ban our accounts, and it was just like, at a certain point, we're just like, yeah, we're making our own. Screw your platform. We're making our own platform. It's called Band.Video. We're going to do everything over there. It's going to be cooler than yours. And we did that. And that's incredible. And share those links, of course. Download the videos yourself. Send your friends and family there. Tell them the information that you find there. All fantastic. But at American Journal, we're starting to initiate the Reconquista. And so we've launched a program. We'll be releasing little shortcuts of our show on Instagram. At Harrison Hill Smith, and on TikTok, Harrison Hill Smith, and on Twitter, Harrison H. Smith. So please do share those around. We really want these to get as many views as humanly possible in order to bring more people in to the InfoWars fold. Because as much as I love you people, I want more of you. I want there to be a greater and larger choir, not just the choir that I'm singing to. With that, we go out to your phone calls. Let's go to Stephen in Florida, first through the gate. You're on the air, Stephen.
Hey, good morning, Harrison. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, so a couple things I wanted to hit on. First of all, plug, you were just talking about the importance of water filtration. I, after being involved in an accident and getting a settlement, I was able to buy the AlexaPure water filtration system back in 2016. That thing has paid for itself multiple times over. I got it through InfoWars, and at the time, it was on sale for $180 with the filter, the additional filter I bought. It was $230 total. Now, you look at the price for that, it's like at least $100 more for all that. So that's been a real blessing. And I'm so thankful Alex Jones put that out there and has made people aware of the issue with fluoride in the water. Now, that brings me to... why I called
in. I want to give you time to get into your point, Stephen. Sure. I do appreciate the plug. So we're going to go to commercial break here and come back with Stephen and Robert and John and Jeremy and John and Jay. We're going to get to all these guys and more. Close out the show with as many of your phone calls as we can get to. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's the American Journal. Now is the time, folks. You got to strike while the iron is hot. Late night talk shows shut down as Writers Guild strikes. Make American Journal a late night show, and I just go full comedy. I say we do it right now. Now's the time. What are people going to do without their fill of Jimmy Fallon every night? Do people even still watch this crap? Maybe this whole writer's strike is just a trick to make people think that the failure of Hollywood is a union dispute rather than just what it is, which is they suck at everything and nobody watches them anymore. Out to your phone calls. We're going to get to as many as possible here in this final segment of American Journal. InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to support us. Stephen from Florida used his time last segment to give us a very nice plug for the AlexaPure water filtration system, which will change your life and is on discount right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So I wanted to give Stephen time to make his actual point. Stephen, thank you for that plug. You are back on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. And so just a couple of quick sources of information for you guys to check out. First of all, Dr. Edward Group, excellent documentary on YouTube, Fluoride Poison on Tap. Go watch that. It's about an hour and a half long. Also, if you want to get a good picture of the Ukraine-Russia situation, on Rumble, Inside Russia's Denazification of Ukraine. Couple that with the report that Hal Turner has out now on HalTurnerRadioShow.com. This was from 2 days ago, showing what Russia is now doing And it's what they said in that documentary about Russia's denazification. Putin said, we have not yet shown our best in response to the U.S. and NATO. We're going to get clobbered, man, when you look at what they're doing now in Ukraine. By the way, we're now sending fighter jets out of Germany and Poland into Ukraine. The other thing I want to mention is this. David Whitehead, whom Mike Adams interviewed, he's done a bombshell documentary. Go to cultofthemedics.com. It's 9 parts, and he shows the history of where modern medicine comes from, and it goes back to the Knights Templar, Knights of Malta, the Hospitallers, and using potions, pharmakeia, and intelligentsia to overthrow nations and to kill people. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, that's very exactly interesting. I'm sure he gets into the Rockefeller redesign of medicine into a profitable industry. Thank you very much. Lots of stuff. Hope people were taking notes there. I know I was. Thank you for that, Stephen. I do want to mention, since I didn't bring it up, the Ukraine conflict, sort of the latest thing that's happened. Of course, we reported yesterday on the Russian airstrikes across the country. One of the things that's coming out now is apparently billions of dollars of equipment and ammunition that we'd given to Ukraine was all being stored in like giant caches where the Russians knew where they were and they were not adequately defended. And just probably billions of dollars worth of equipment has gone up in smoke as the Russians, the Ukrainians were making a lot of noise about we're about to start our new offensive. And so the Russians just went in and bombed all of the weapons and ammunition caches and basically obliterated so much of what we've sent to Ukraine. So I'm sure old Joe is reaching for the checkbook right now to do it all over again. But that's the latest out of Russia and Ukraine, is that Russia essentially obliterated a huge number of stores that we'd sent to Ukraine of weapons and ammunition. So well done, Ukraine. Just leave them out in the open, will you? It's great. It's great stuff. Let's go now to John in Michigan. You say Hollywood is out of stories. Go ahead, John. I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, I called in before a little while back. I was talking about how I thought InfoWars needed to come up with your own entertainment wing. You guys should clean up with the amount of bogus stories that are coming out of Hollywood. But I'm also going to be a little selfish, and I'm going to plug myself. And I have already sent my story to your guys there at, what is it, writers@infowars.com or something to that effect.
Okay.
A story that's something that I think a lot of people are craving nowadays, something that Hollywood is never going to put out, and got a large bent on the conspiracy research realm. I've got a character in there that is based off of Alex Jones. And a lot of the guys there at InfoWars that I've listened to for the past, 15, 20 years.
So this is a piece of fiction? Is it a short story?
Fiction. Yeah, fiction. I mean, it's fiction, but it's
based on real life.
It's got a lot of historical, yeah.
Cool.
Exactly. So, and I think that that's something that a lot of people need to start doing, especially a lot of InfoWars listeners. A lot of people want to write books. So do it. Stop messing around. Get it done.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you want me to do this or not, but if you could go to theweaponbook.com and check it out. And for you specifically, because you guys are all so nice there, really. I mean, you, Alex, every time I've called in, even the screeners, you guys have the best screeners. You guys are also very, very nice. So I appreciate you guys very much. Check it out. I'll put it Bree Harrison for you to check out the story. I'm going to send a couple chapters so that you can read it and see what you like.
All right, great. Yeah, we always like supporting our audience. I do want to get to one more call, John, so I appreciate it. But give us that website one more time.
Theweaponbook.com.
The weapons book?
The weapon, like theweaponbook.com.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, heck, we want our audience out there, you know, making content that we can share. So that's fantastic stuff, and maybe we need to double down on that. I was doing that a lot at the beginning of last year, bringing on a lot of artists and alternative people, talking a lot more about Hollywood and stuff. It's just such trash. I mean, there's more important stuff to talk about than, you know, how they're destroying Lord of the Rings again or how they're remaking Harry Potter again. Like, but it is important because it's, I mean, that's your cultural output is like, I mean, that's, it's your art. It's your culture's, you know, mark on the world. And the mark on the world we're making right now is digging through the trash and finding stuff that used to be popular and then slapping blackface on it and acting like we did something brave. It's bad. It's bad, everything going on right now. And I'm telling you, I would love if we could get one of those $400 million injections like Vice Media got, and we could go out and make feature-length movies. I know, like, the Daily Wire and stuff's doing it, but they don't get it. They don't have the vision. They're making, like, movies that are explicitly political, that are, like, about somebody defending the border. And it's like, that's not what we need. What we need is just entertaining, creative, compelling stories that have buried in them the lessons that we want to, you know, teach our kids and that sort of stuff. I mean, that's how the left did it. The left didn't do it by making explicitly left-wing content. They make normal content that's just saturated with their leftist ideology, and that's what we need, because leftist ideology is it's evil. It's like they can't write good stories because they literally don't understand the heroic nature. They don't understand heroic spirit. So like all of their heroes are just like annoying busybody girl bosses, and it's like nobody. It doesn't resonate with anybody because it's inhuman. It doesn't actually activate those parts of our brain that are yearning for something, you know, beyond the tangible. So we could do it. We could do it. We absolutely could. And that's, you know, we rely on you folks out there to be on the forefront of that aspect of the information war. Be out there creating, and we'd love to share your creations. Let's go now, finally, to Jay in Kentucky. You want to talk about the Jesse Waters clip we played just a few minutes ago? Jay, Kentucky, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if maybe that Jesse and Tucker might be pretty tight, because Jesse's often been on there a lot like Tucker, and I'm wondering if maybe he might be giving some of his material to him and putting it on the air. And I'm going home. I'm a truck driver. I'm looking forward to getting the Turbo Force big time. And that string that goes around the Jewish community yesterday you were talking about, that's basically just because it's a community and it allows people on Shabbos or Saturday to walk within the community and or push their child's
stroller,
baby carriage and stuff
like
that.
Yeah. No, I after that guy called in, I looked it up, and I don't know. It seems to me like one of those things where it's like they're trying to trick God somehow. It's very weird. It's like, well, technically I didn't violate the Sabbath. It's like, really, you're going to get God on technicality? I don't know. Christians do the same thing too, where it's like,
yeah,
well, technically I didn't sin. It's like, yeah, but you did though. But actually, yeah, I don't think you can trick God. Like it's kind of a strange thing. But yeah, I looked that up, and anyway, didn't find anything worth covering about. But thank you very much for that call, Jay. It's an interesting thought about Jesse Waters. I mean, I know Jesse Waters, I actually like a little bit more. I don't like him as much as Tucker, but I know, you know, he got started on Bill O'Reilly's show doing the on the street stuff that in a lot of ways set the tone for how a lot of people in our sphere got started in 2016, being on the street, sort of talking to dumb liberals. I mean, Jesse Waters is really at the forefront of that. So it's interesting stuff. Thanks for being with us, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.